Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, an energy healer and medium, and author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. Today, Roberta Grimes, author of The Fun of Staying in Touch, How Our Loved Ones Contact Us and How We Can Contact Them, and I will discuss what is for some a difficult topic, but an area and a topic that Roberta and I have spent decades studying. Hello, Roberta, and welcome.
Oh, hi, I'm so glad to be with you. We're going to have so much fun with this.
Yes, we will. And Roberta, as listeners of Healing From Within know, on each show, my guests and I explore our energetic soul life factor or inner essence in relationship to our physical life needs in the hopes of gaining a greater understanding of who we are, where we come from, and a clearer view of transformation, evolution, science, religion, ancient and modern philosophy and psychology, and transition while showing consciousness survives physical death and how this knowledge relates to a greater view of healing and a healthier life and a greater reality. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Roberta, an attorney and afterlife expert, will share her experiences and bring her passion for this subject and 40 years of in-depth study to help you alleviate worrying about dying or the loss of a loved one. Roberta and I will share what she calls experiences of light in childhood and her views on quantum physics as she shows us her view of what she believes comes next. Once the elements of fear, darkness, and superstition are put aside, we can really focus on understanding that the transition of consciousness after physical death could really be an amazing process. Roberta, I often ask my guests to think back to their childhood for a minute to recall any experience or interests or goals that were important to them, as I believe the seeds for our life path are often evident really early on.
Yes. My whole life was transformed when I was 8 years old, and I woke up in the middle of the night and knew there was no God, and I was terrified. And then there was this brilliant flash of light in the room. It illuminated the whole room, but just a flash. And a young male voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me if you didn't know what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." I was never the same person after that. 60 years later, it feels like it just happened.
Yes, when you have experiences of a spiritual nature, a visitation from spirit, a near-death experience, you never forget it. It stays with you like it just happened a moment ago.
Just happened.
Yeah, it's like that. But what made you think that there was no God? I'm sure you were being raised in a family where they were trying to express a love of universal source or creation. What happened?
Well, I was a good little Christian child up until that night, and therefore I lived in spirit. Now, we all have spirit guides, and our spirit guides, our primary guide, is with us all the time. I believe, after 60 years of study, that what happened to me that night was that my primary spirit guide, whom I now know personally, withdrew briefly so I would understand the difference. I'm here all the time. I mean, because your spirit guide is the water in which you swim. You just are not aware of what it would be like not to have that presence. So he withdrew from me just for a moment, and that was what I was feeling as I woke up.
Oh, you were frightened for a moment because you always felt him around in some way. And in that sense, you felt alone. You felt lost, as many of us do. I mean, you can be in a room surrounded by many people, and you can still have a longing or a feeling of loss because this is our connection to universal spirit, being part of the oneness and connected to everybody and everything throughout time. So there are moments when we remember that and we kind of yearn to be there instead of just the physical world, which we have to work a little harder to access those memories. So let's go on. You are a practicing attorney. What made you want to study death and the afterlife other than these early experiences of light you just described?
But that was it, because people who have these experiences don't talk about them. I never told anyone. I was only a child, but I never told anyone what had happened to me. I thought it was something must happen to everybody. If you forget there's a God, they remind you. And I thought I'd learn about it, but I never did. I even went to college, and I never asked a question, never got an answer. So I, for some reason, it occurred to me that the only way I was going to find it, I'd have to figure it out myself. And I thought that light must have come from wherever the dead are. I mean, I knew that there was something behind the curtain, which, frankly, most people who haven't had extraordinary experiences aren't sure about it. They may hope, but they're not sure. I knew it. I've always known it. And I thought, if I can figure out where the dead are, I'll probably be able to figure out what happened to me. And that turned out actually to be right.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, you wanted to know what that experience was really all about.
Driven my life.
Well, you know, Roberta, I was brought up in a scientifically and very practically oriented family mindset. And it was only about 20 years ago. I had no really understanding of an afterlife. I was brought up to believe that we just have this physical life, and very scientifically factored. There were explanations for everything, and there you had to really see what was happening to really discuss it intelligently. So about 20 years ago, I was very sick with the flu, and I had what I thought was a dream, and my grandfather was standing next to me. I couldn't see him, but I felt him. I heard him, even though I couldn't hear him, because I said, I can't hear you, talk louder. And then in my mind, I knew he was saying that I had to write something for my father. And the next day, I had a call from my mom, who told me my dad had passed.
And, wow.
Yeah, and I proceeded to write his eulogy. And some years later, after many coincidences and the inability to forget that dream, as we were just talking about, how these experiences of spiritual energy cannot be forgotten because they're not really a dream, they're a reality.
They're reality, yeah.
Yeah, I had a realization that perhaps something of our being, and I'm talking about our soul, our real essence, our real reason for having this physical life, which is to remember this soul essence. I had a belief that something survived physical death. It began to take hold. So I wrote my first book, Life is No Coincidence, The Life and Afterlife Connection, to document my growing awareness, because I thought it was the best thing anyone could ever discover, that there is no death. We just are an eternal living force of creation, and we're here to experience, and then we meet up with everyone we love, and we are love, and we are creation. And so that was the best thing, and I wanted to share it with everyone. So I wasn't like you. I wasn't quiet about it. Once I
I was very quiet about it.
No.
So I think that one of the things we're learning is we're all on different journeys. And the people listening today are probably on journeys that are related to what we're doing, too. Otherwise, they might not be listening now. We are all being called to be our tiny, tiny little stroke on this enormous painting that is being put together way above our pay grade. And we're doing our little bit of work, which is going to be part of a glorious future for humankind. That's the beauty of it.
Absolutely. We are moving forward. Where the veil that separates these realities or multidimensional worlds will be no more, because we'll be lighter beings in our physical life, and the lighter beings above will be able to mingle as you did as a child and as I did also as a child. Even though I was never aware what was happening, I was always following their clues. It's just I thought it was my own mindset and good intelligence and hard work that were getting me to say yes to certain things and to enjoy certain things. But really, it was a great deal of effort on Spirit's part to guide me, as we are all guided. And I wanted to say, my next book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I actually wrote that the same reason you wrote your book, to share proof through energy healing work and readings as a medium, how I was receiving information from this higher intuition or these spiritual connections to our guides and to souls in this non-local dimension. And they were accurate. The information was accurate. It was like plugging into a computer and getting the information, but I was doing it with my heart and mind in meditation. And I want to have as many people be able to access this skill, because it's something that we all can do. It's not just for a few. It is our birthright as spiritual beings to be able to connect to this higher dimension and to improve the quality of our health and our life as a result. So for those people out there who want to know more about this, go to my informational website, CherylGlick.com, and you can learn more about your own ability to connect to your own inner wisdom and this non-local dimension for healing, prosperity, and for a new love of life. So that's CherylGlick.com. Now, let's go on, Roberta. What kinds of real evidence have you found, and why don't most people know about it?
Well, most people don't know about it because the two most trusted institutions, Christianity in all its different forms and mainstream science, are stonewalling this evidence. But in fact, if you are interested in sort of doing this work, I show in my book how you can basically, in a year, duplicate what it took me a lifetime to do. There, it turns out that in the early part of the 20th century, we received hundreds of excellent, very evidential communications from the dead, primarily through deep trance mediums, a form of communication that really doesn't exist today. But from about the very end of the 19th century through to almost the middle of the 20th was the heyday. And there were a couple of things about this evidence that are extraordinary. The first is the dead teams that were working with those mediums were trying to prove, this was the time of quantum physics, they were trying at the same time that the early quantum physicists were discovering that nothing is material, they were trying to prove they were there. And they came up with proofs that blow your mind, which were ignored. But they were carefully documented by researchers. So that's one thing that struck me and made me understand this has to be real. But there were two other things. The second thing was that as I read hundreds of these, it became clear to me they all had been and were in the same place, the same process, the same physics, the same, you know, things, the way they dress, what they do, down to small details. They were all in the same place. I never found an outlier. So it's impossible for that to be the case and for it not to be real. But then the most amazing thing to me didn't happen until for decades, which was when I finally became brave enough to do what I had stopped doing, which was sit down and read the Gospels. And I discovered that somebody walked the earth 2,000 years ago and told us things about God, reality, death, and the afterlife that we could not have confirmed in any way until the early 20th century. Because basically, Jesus told us all the same stuff, only we didn't understand what he was saying. And that was the greatest discovery of my life. I mean, if you have the proofs offered by the dead in the early part of the 20th century, plus the fact that all the communications are talking about the same place, plus the fact that Jesus tells us all the same stuff, it's impossible for it not to be real.
Jesus was a spiritual teacher.
Yeah.
Who was here to show
so.
Us
yeah.
that if we lived and had our soul energy refined and evolved, we would be creating the afterlife that we would experience when we left this physical life. So he was aware of an afterlife. It's not a religious concept. It is a concept
yes.
of physics and science and energy,
yes.
that we are energy, and energy can never be destroyed. So, yes,
yes,
he was an afterlife specialist, so to put it. And actually, if you go a little farther, he was also a medium. He was downloading information and connected very much so to his guides and God and angels and all the forces of spirit, and that was his way to be here. So you don't have to go through, as some Christians might believe, him to get to the afterlife. You have to create a life of value here on earth yourself, and everyone goes to the afterlife. It's just when you get there, you're on different levels of study or exploration as you are creating in the life you live here what you value most. And that's how we bring heaven to earth, in realizing the universal laws of spirit are different than the physical realities of a physical life. So I want to go on to some of the common signs that you talked about that I, as a medium, experience all the time. And some of these were apports, or small objects that materialize at sometimes like pennies, that you may be thinking of someone and you'll find a penny here and a penny there and another penny there. They just sort of start to appear and you say, gee, you know, that must be my aunt who just passed. She promised me she was going to bring something. And then there are other signs, feathers, insects, dragonflies and butterflies most especially are very spiritual insects. And what else can you tell us? What are some of the other signs that we might see or
sense? I think
it's
important to understand that the dead have minds much more powerful than ours. So
absolutely,
they can do things that like producing apports. The most common ones are coins, usually pennies. I know someone whose mother gives her quarters. I don't know why they don't all do that, but usually pennies. And feathers. Those are the two most common apports. Although bigger things can be done, they have no trouble moving matter with their minds. They just don't want to freak us out. They can also hurt insects and influence birds and other small animals. They can make insect clouds appear. Usually the insects they use are dragonflies and butterflies. My mother did this in a spectacular way after her death. She never did anything small. And they can also play with electricity. And this is a very common thing. Someone has recently died. Suddenly you're finding your TV's turning off and on, lights
yes.
are turning off and on.
Mm-hmm.
They're very able to manipulate, because they are energy beings, of course, themselves. They can mess with electricity very easily. Another thing they can do is produce songs. And this is one that is very strange. You'll get into an elevator or walk into a store, and the song that you danced to 30 years ago at your wedding is playing as music.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens, or you turn on the radio, and a song that... maybe it's not even a station that normally plays. It's a rap station, and you know, and they're playing "Long Ago and Far Away" or something. That was what you danced to at your wedding. Very amazing. But they do this, and I was so flummoxed by it that I wanted to know how. And I have a friend who died when he was 20. Now he would be about 28 now. Communicates through his mother, and I asked her to ask him how they did some of this stuff. And his answers were so good, I just included them as quotations in The Fun of Staying in Touch. So you got an expert's voice there telling you how they do this stuff.
Well, let me tell you something also about how they can give us signs. Before my mother passed, I was aware that she would be in a safe place. She was sick at the time, and I wanted her to be free. And I, you know, they say it's always good to say to someone who's at the end of the road that they can go forward to the new life, and they do need that. They want to stay because they love us, and sometimes just saying you can go, but send me a message. And the message my mom told me she was going to send me was three doves. And not too long after she died, we had twin towers, and I was really, really sad over that whole event. This was the whole world.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the New York Times, which she read cover to cover every day. And there was a picture there of two families standing together who were mourning the loss of their loved ones. It was a police officer and a fireman. And right in front of them were three doves captured
wow.
by the photographer right up front near his lens.
Wow.
And I mean, this for me happens all the time. The more that you're aware of the synchronicity and coincidences and miracles happening, mm-hmm. the more it happens. It happens for me, and it happens for all my clients who come to me that I give readings and messages to. And yes, music is a wonderful way that spirit talks to us. Nature is another way they talk to us. And gifts are another way that they show us how they love us, and they know what we love. So let me go on to something that's very interesting. You tell a story about Gary E. Schwartz, who relates in the, you know, he gives you the foreword of your book.
Yes, so, is he wonderful to do that?
Yeah,
wow.
Yes, he is something.
I love him.
So go on to tell us his story.
Well, the thing about Gary is that his book, The Afterlife Experiments, was what made me believe that mediumship was even possible, because I had a lot of readings with psychic mediums who did not do very well, even expensive ones. But he double and triple tested, blind tested mediums, and he found that the odds against chance were in the, you know, millions, multiple millions, for that some of these were doing anything but actually doing these readings of the dead. And I've gotten to be friends with him and come to understand his story. He started out as just a complete skeptic. He was raised as an atheist. But he started to become curious about some things that had happened. And when an honest person becomes curious about afterlife phenomena, you end up with another researcher. Dishonest people will just debunk. Honest people like Dr. Schwartz will let it transform their lives, and so it has with him. He now is at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and fortunately, as he says, he has tenure, so they let him do his thing, but he is in the laboratory working on, with several other people also in other parts of the country, are working on ways for the dead to communicate with the living directly, electronically.
Well, let me tell you something, Roberta, about him. You know, I often have coincidences and overlapping stories with my guests, and we have one today. In 2000, I was guided to an event in Barbados where John N. Edward, a Long Island-based medium, and his friend, international medium Robert Brown, and there were other mediums, they were hosting their first spiritual and psychic development workshop. And I was there after experiencing a visit from my departed grandfather, and I had to understand more about spiritual communication. So like Gary, I was a skeptic too, and now through my own experience, I knew there was more to this than met the eye, and I actually met Gary there. He was there that week. He discussed his research. And I was so delighted to have scientific support because it became my goal and greatest desire to provide the world with this greatest truth ever, that consciousness survives physical death, and we are not merely our bodies. So over the course of this last 5 years on this show, Healing From Within, I have interviewed neurosurgeons, medical doctors, scientists, energy healers, psychologists, musicians, and artists. Everyone, educated people from all different fields who share their experience and the newest information from quantum physics and everything we're talking about to show that the duality of our energetic or soul presence and our conscious physical life are not a duality at all. It's a oneness. There is no separateness at all. And also, when you were talking about Jesus, I did like the section that you had on him, and how you said that he wasn't really a religious leader as much as he was a man who was studying the universe and energy and evolution and trying to show us who we were as spiritual beings and also physical beings. So I like that section that you had, and I suggest that readers read that very carefully because there's a lot of wisdom there and truth. Now, Roberta, what is the afterlife? Where is it? And how does it work, in your opinion?
Well, just very briefly, it's exactly where we are. There is nothing solid. We think this is solid, where we are, but it's not. It's all, if you go drill down into atoms, they're nothing but open space and vortices of energy, which used to be called particles. That's it. In fact, they still call them particles, but they're not solid. Because nothing is solid here, it's very easy to imagine that this is how it works. If your mind is a TV set, right now, your mind is tuned to what we think is the lowest channel, this level of reality, and to that body on this level of reality. That's how finely it's tuned. But your mind isn't in your body. Your mind is, it's as if your brain is a two-way radio when they have a meat robot. Or if you saw the movie Avatar, your body is your avatar. You're safely somewhere else that is the true you. In fact, you are part of eternal mind. You're, as you say, there's no separation. We're all part of eternal mind. So when it's time to die, because everything is in the same place, but all those other layers of reality are just at slightly higher vibratory rates, like higher channels. So when it's time to die, that TV set that is your mind tunes from channel 2 to channel 5, and there you pick up a whole new solid reality. It's that easy to die.
Yeah, and you know what? Your mind is actually the true essence of what you are. The soul is your mind, and it's connected to all the other energies and continuous evolution of creation. And that is what religion really tries to seek out, an understanding of what God is. So what is your feeling or understanding about God? And how does this relate to what you are sharing about the transition from a physical life to a state of spiritual energy?
The only thing that exists is God. Everything that exists that we think of as real that's not God is just an artifact of God, a thought of God, a thought in the mind of God. And the best definition I've ever found of God is this. God is an energy-like potentiality without size, without form, infinitely powerful, alive in the same way that your mind is alive, highly emotional, therefore probably self-aware, and the only emotion of God is intense affinity for itself. In other words, love.
Yes.
God loves us intensely. It's impossible for us to comprehend how precious each of us is to God. We are part of God, and we are infinitely precious.
No, absolutely. So beautifully said. Thank you very much for that. So as Jesus told us and other leaders have told us and spiritual teachers, the fundamental fact that God is a loving spirit and each of us is part of God and God is part of us. So God is spirit and the kingdom of God is within you, as this show says.
Yes, yes.
Healing from within. So I want to thank you, Roberta Grimes, author of The Fun of Dying and your newest book, The Fun of Staying in Touch, for your investigative interest in discovering more about the nature of energy, our dual nature as spiritual beings having a physical life, and the sharing of information that has been documented and investigated by many reliable sources who have also asked questions into the nature of the life and death processes. To purchase this book, please go to robertagrimes.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have provided an in-depth look at the scientific studies and ways we may begin to understand that death does not exist as energy beings manifesting for a time a physical life journey. We may come to understand our place in the universal mind or oneness of being. It is possible to learn a great deal through our interactions with souls in spirit who communicate and wish us to know they survive and all is well, and they are all in a state of life. Philosophers and scientists throughout time have shared this realization with us. Sir Isaac Newton wrote, "The most beautiful system of the sun, planets, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and domination of an intelligent and powerful being." In talking today about the many messages and post-death signs that we are all receiving, Roberta wrote, "Post-death signs are so varied and so universal that it isn't much of a stretch to surmise that nearly everyone who has completed the transition to the afterlife, leaving loved ones behind, will attempt to deliver a sign." And in my book, The Living Spirit Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, I wish to share the greatest miracle of all time, that consciousness survives physical death, and life is but a dream if you know who you are as part of universal source and eternal energy. And I wrote, "Every human being builds through unity and purpose of experiences, an indivisible oneness of the finest aspects of divine blessings, which are love, humility, forgiveness, and the generosity of merging ourselves with all that is. The purpose must be to prepare and refine our souls through our choices made in our physical lives for an eternal soul life worthy of divine introspection." I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing from Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to learn more about energy healing mediumship, the afterlife, and to hear leaders in their fields share a look at higher consciousness and the evolving nature of the world and universe. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.